Pericope of Scripture for our sermon on the Lord's Day is 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontitate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and opposition of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You take out your psalters, page 26 in the back. We are up to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Answer, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in thee alone. May God bless the reading and preaching of his word again this morning. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, most of our prayers all deal with, first of all, adoration and praise to God, then confession of our sins, then thanks for all the gifts God has given to us, and then finally our needs in interceding for one another. The prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples and the prayer that Jesus taught there on the Sermon on the Mount doesn't deal with all those elements. It only deals with that last element, our needs. Our needs that our Father in heaven will be glorified. Our needs for the kingdom of God to come. Our needs that his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And now our need for our daily bread. Bread represents the basic necessities of life. So notice under the theme, prayer for bread, first of all, the bread that we need. Second of all, the blessing that we need upon that bread. And thirdly, the need we have for God's grace in receiving that bread. The bread that feeds our bodies, often called the staff of life. Notice with me, this fourth petition is not dealing with spiritual food, that is the Word of God, or Christ Jesus as the bread of life. There are those that want to take this fourth petition and they say, no, we should not pray for physical things because didn't Jesus teach also in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about today or tomorrow what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to put on, etc. So we should not be praying for something so lowly like physical bread on our tables. But how? How can you and I continue from day to day to serve the Lord as his servants and live as his children without having the bread, the staff of life, to nourish us? When God took his people out of Egypt, they're there in the wilderness, and in that wilderness there was not food to eat, and in that wilderness there was not water to drink, and the Lord supplied those physical needs of his people so they could continue to walk through the wilderness, live in the wilderness on their way to Canaan. So, beloved, as our needs are first of all for God himself to be glorified by our lives and by the lives of his church and by the creation that he made, and as it's our need also that his kingdom will come in all of its glory and fulfillment, perfection, as it's our need that his will be done by us as it is by the angels and the saints in heaven, we have here a need, fourthly, then, in this fourth petition, for our daily sustenance. That includes all the basic necessities or essentials to continue our earthly life so that we may serve him, that we may be led as pilgrims through this world to that goal which we are going, namely the new heavens and the new earth. Basic essentials such as, yes, the clothing that we need to wear. When the weather turns colder, good warm coats to wear. We need housing to shelter us from the rain and the cold and the heat. We need health in order even to enjoy bread. We need work to do. We need food. We need friends. We need loved ones. These are all necessities for our physical life here on earth. And I want you to notice in this fourth temple, this fourth request, it is a very simple life that's asked for. Not luxuries, not big bank accounts, not bigger and bigger barns filled for the future. A very simple life. Notice with me, it is a request for our daily bread. And that word daily is used twice, isn't it, in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And that daily bread then is that bread that God deems necessary for us. As we read in Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young and now am old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God knows how to take care of his people. And God determines for each one of his people what they need, what is appropriate for them, not what they desire or think they need, but rather what God has deemed for them, the portion of bread that he has appointed. And notice it is not bread for the whole week or the bread for the whole year, but rather it is, give us this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Give us this day the bread that is appointed to us. Bread that is always subservient to the purpose of God's glory, the coming of his kingdom, and the realization of his will in our lives. Always. Always as those who are of the cross of Christ Jesus, we must expect suffering. Suffering for righteousness' sake. And suffering for righteousness' sake will sometimes mean that our portion of bread becomes very, very small. How many Christians in different nations have a hard time getting a job because they name the name of Christ and will not renounce it? Their houses burned, them put into prison, even as the Apostle Paul was put into prison. And so suffering is our earthly portion where we might suffer hunger and want and even starvation and death. It's a daily bread, that which God apportions for each day of our life. And notice thirdly that it is a communal bread. In other words, I'm not just concerned about myself and my own family, but as the family of God, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord loves all of his people, and God's people then love one another and they care for one another. And so when there are those who have needs in the congregation, we gladly give our offerings, don't we, to care for them. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's not only then our own congregation, but as many of our different prayer or offerings are for other Christian schools, other Christian church buildings that need to be built or maintained, other saints that come across our path. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want you to notice, fourthly, under this first point, that this bread is a gift from God. We are acknowledging that it is God alone who can provide these things for us. Even as he provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness, so also God continues to care for our physical well-being. God is able because he is a sovereign God. There is nothing impossible for him except sin. But he's not only able to give us what we need, but he is willing. He's willing because he's our Father in heaven and he loves you and me as his children. And God will then provide us the bread that we need. And I want you to notice that it is not the bread of idleness. Well, God's going to take care of me, so I do nothing. There were some of those in Thessalonica that did that. They said, Jesus is coming soon, so we're going to sit on top of our roof and we're not going to work anymore. And the Apostle Paul writes, those who don't work, they don't eat. It's not the bread of violence where we steal it from someone else or cunning tricks. It is not the bread of foolishness. That is, using our monies for things that are not wise, that are wasteful. We need to be wise also with our finances so that, when possible, the work of our hands takes care of the need of our tummies. It means then that we live in consciousness that God will provide all of our needs, and so we look to him. We look to him daily. That daily bread is provided through means, isn't it? God uses means. God uses our own health and ability to work. And when our needs are greater than what we can physically provide for, he gives us the church. And in our benevolent offerings, we care and we give for the needs of others around us. Trust in our God, the bread that we need each day. That brings me to my second point then, the necessary blessing upon that bread. And the Catechism emphasizes that need of God's blessing upon our daily bread. We read there in Lord's Day 50, neither our care nor our industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Obviously, we need our daily bread, and God gives us that bread, but that bread must be given with God's blessing from above. In other words, we receive that bread because of the consequences of God's eternal love for us and his work for and within us by Christ Jesus. What makes us his sons and daughters that he, our Father, cares for each one of us and provides for all our needs? It's because of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. It was God who gave us to Christ in eternity. And by Christ Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, we are no longer known by God as sinners, but we are called saints, sons and daughters, those whom he loves and he will care for. It is on that basis of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus that God gives us these good things with his blessing and favor. Boys and girls, that's the first prayer probably that you pray at your dinner table. You begin with, Lord, here's this food on the table. Add thy blessing to it, that we eat it with thy favor. I love. And after we have eaten, then we thank the Lord for that. We need that blessing upon those good gifts that God gives us. Because, yes, we recognize that God gives good gifts also to the unbeliever, doesn't he? He gives the unbeliever the same rain that we have on our fields and sunshine to make the crops grow. He gives them just as well high-paying jobs, family, and friends. And those good gifts are given to the unbelievers, now some say, with God's grace, or they call it common grace. But it's not grace. It's not grace at all. God does give good gifts to the wicked, but he's like the farmer. He feeds his pigs well so that they are fattened up and he can butcher them. And God also gives good gifts to the wicked so they are fattened with those good gifts, but they won't acknowledge the giver. And they make themselves worthy of damnation. As we read in Psalm 73, God puts the wicked on a slippery slope. They daily increase God's wrath and vengeance upon them. But God loves his children and he blesses them. Listen to the Lord as he says in Psalm 132, verse 5, I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. And Jesus warns, though, that bread is not the ultimate answer. Notice it's the fourth petition. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are given this daily sustenance so that we on this earth can each day serve him and live as his children, his sons and daughters, as children of the light in the midst of the darkness of this world. So, beloved, when you and I pray the Lord's Prayer and we utter this petition, oh, see by faith the hand of our God. That hand of God that is not weary in giving us what we need. Yes, behold the streams of mercy that never run dry from him. See by faith his hand that delights in giving you and me what we need, what he has apportioned for us. And that's what calls for thanksgiving, isn't it? So boys and girls, you ask before that you eat the food, Lord, bless this food. May it come with thy favor. And after we've eaten, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this bread and water or milk or even meat and whatever is on the table. Notice with me in this fourth petition, our responsibility. Responsibility for all that we receive from God. Receiving those good gifts, we must be diligent in our labor and thankful for what God's given. So this phrase, we must have working hands, and working hands will be praying hands. Lord, establish thou the work of our hands, right? Working hands will be praying hands, and vice versa, praying hands will also be working hands. We don't just offer up the prayer and then sit back in our lazy boy chair and say, okay, someone else can take care of me. When we are able, those praying hands are also working hands. So notice with me then the third point, the grace that is needed for us to pray this prayer. Hopefully you will see that this prayer is not a petition that just anyone can pray. The natural, the unregenerated man will certainly not be able to make it his own. Look out there in the world that we live at. Look at the greed and covetousness. As not only people look at one another in greed and covetousness, but also nations look at one another in greed and covetousness. Oh, the battle and oh, the hatred between the haves and the have-nots. We see there in the world that man is serving with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. He says, with that rich fool in the Bible, bigger and bigger barns, and now soul rest, because you have provided for all the rest of your days more than plenty. All those thoughts are in stark contrast to the very simple request in this fourth petition. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So it's an impossible prayer for the reprobate, for the wicked to pray, but beloved, it is also a difficult prayer for the child of God, the believer. This is not an easy petition to pray, because you and I often do not live on that high spiritual plane, that level that is required to take this petition on our lips and really mean it from our hearts. How often aren't we bitter or going through difficulties? And like the children of Israel, we are murmuring. Maybe we don't actually dare to say it out loud, but this isn't fair. Why is God doing this to me? I don't like it. Has God forgotten me? Parents, take your own children with all their difficulties that they might have, difficulties that they cannot accept in their lives, difficulties that worry them more than what you ever think. Do we thrust our children away from us with their difficulties, or do we listen to our children and teach them to say early in life, Lord, lead me by my hand and give me my daily bread? Teach them early to bring their needs to you, their earthly parents, but then especially their needs to their Father in heaven. We live out of God's hand of providence and grace. And just as we want our children to be able to confide and lean upon us and ask for our help, so also we, as God's children, look to our Father in heaven. We need him. So notice with me what is needed to express this prayer from the heart and to live it is God's grace. We need the grace of trusting him. The key word in this fourth petition is trust. His sovereignty over all things. We acknowledge in this fourth petition that God alone can supply what we really stand in need of for body and for soul. He is the only fountain that will slack our thirst in this life. And as my Father in heaven, the sovereign God, he's dependable, so he is able to give us what we need, and also then he is willing to give us what we need. Do you have that trust in your Father when you utter this rather simple little request? It means trust, that we look for the daily bread from his hand. We dare to approach his throne, and we ask him to provide, because of his promise that he is with us always. You see, our God is not the God of deism. You say, what's the God of deism? Deism is the faith that God created everything, but then like a person that winds up a clock, the world is created and now it's left on his own and God is somewhere off, far away. Our God is one who is near us always. Yes, transcendent one, but he is the immanent God, always with us. And so we don't rely upon self to supply all that we need. As the Catechism says, not our industry, not our skill, not our business, keen business acumen. We do not trust in the abundance of our riches or a bank account or investments that we have. We do not withdraw from the world, but rather we don't trust it either. We live in the consciousness that God supplies all the needs of his children. Trust in the Lord. Childlike trust, not questioning, why is God doing this and why is God doing that? All things are in God's hand, and therefore all things will work out together for good to them that love him. The grace of trust. We use the means that God gives us for our daily sustenance, that is, prayers to his throne, but also the work of our hands. But our trust is in the Lord exclusively. Trust in him because of the glorious work that he has already done for us in Christ Jesus. If he has given us his only Son for our salvation, and if he gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, you think it's too hard a thing for God to give you your daily bread and our daily bread each day? Will not he who works the greater work also provide for the lesser work? Not just for the poor, but also for the rich. God will supply all of our needs. Let me read from Proverbs a minute. Proverbs 30. Verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of such of all appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. God cares for his own. Remove far from me the vanities and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. God knows what we need. And God will give his children who cry to him, who look to him, what they stand in need of for body as well as soul. So, first of all, we need that grace of trusting God. He knows what he's doing. Second of all, we need the grace of contentment. For when our trust is completely in God, daily bread emphasizes Christian contentment. We ask only for bread, and we ask only for the bread for this day. God's people are called to pray for necessary things. And it means then that they do not set their hearts on getting more than what is absolutely necessary. We're not praying for luxuries, but necessities. What about you? What are your goals? Are you satisfied with what the Lord provides for you? Whether it be from your own hands working diligently or when the needs are greater for God to care for you through his church. A sincere prayer for material things is satisfied if it's satisfied with bread. It is a prayer asking and characterized by contentment. That is the Apostle Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 6. When he speaks to working men and their attitudes in the first couple verses, isn't it? Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And if these working men have believing masters, let them not despise them, but because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Notice, Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul what things he must teach and exhort. What is the attitude of those who work and are in the church? What do they trust? And what is their contentment? Not looking to the ungodly unions, but looking at their masters and giving faithful service, whether it be unbelieving masters or especially believing masters. Contentment. Verses 6 through 8 of 1 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and in perdition. Contentment, you see, is the opposite of covetousness. Think a moment of boys and girls of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. They had great herds of sheep, and they were able to graze those sheep on those lands that they didn't even own. But Lot looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and there the grass was taller and more abundant. And he was willing to leave the church that is in Abraham, the blessing that comes upon Abram, to move closer and closer to Sodom and Gomorrah. And yes, maybe he had some very fat cattle, so that he could move right into the city and be a rather highly regarded person at the gate. But he lost everything, didn't he? Except the clothes on his back. Part of his family in Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife turning around and looking at that city where her heart was, turning into salt. And the two daughters that he manages to take with him, led by the angel, have Sodom and Gomorrah right in their hearts. He was not content with what he had with Abraham's servants in their flocks, covetous of that high grass and greater riches. He lost everything. Contentment, it's a grace of God. Because our sinful flesh is never content. It always wants more. We are needy. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, that is shown to us. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Are you content? Are you content always with the Lord, the way the Lord's leaving you? The health that you maybe are enjoying, or the health that you don't have and you wish you had. The family that you have, or perhaps the family that's been taken home or is gone. Are you content? Covetousness is the reason for so much trouble in this world and in the church. We make comparisons with one another and we say, I wish I had that. Never content with what we have. We want more and more and more. Paul says to Timothy, teach the people that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money itself, but the love of money and the wanting more of money. What bitterness, what fighting, what striking there is. Because not content. We need the grace of trusting in God and His providence and grace. We need the grace of contentment in what God gives to us. And thirdly, we need the grace of confidence. He is our Father in heaven and He loves us. Confidence, He gave His own Son for our salvation. Will He not give us also what we need for our bodies and for our life in this world as we're traveling to the Canaan above? Is that not what faith is all about? It's not merely knowledge about the God, but also assurance. Assurance that He loves us and cares for us and will care for us for body and soul. That contentment, beloved, has to be expressed by us. And may our children be able to see in us as parents that contentment that we have with what God gives to us. God's people satisfied with what they have, and saying, God is good. Putting away, fighting envy that wants to arise from our sinful natures. And yes, the preacher has to say, oh man of God, flee from those kind of things. He has to say it, first of all, to himself before he can say it to the congregation, doesn't he? We don't deserve even the bread that we eat, let alone riches. God is good. He chose us. He gave us salvation in Christ Jesus. He dwells in us with His Spirit. He's leading and guiding and feeding us, caring for our bodies through our whole pilgrimage. That kind of grace, the grace of trust, the grace of contentment, the grace of confidence doesn't come by itself, but rather it comes as the fruit of God's grace in our lives and the fruit of godliness. Humble people, satisfied with whatever God is pleased to give us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. How do we come this prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. We do not come as beggars hoping for luck with God, but we come as little children who also have trust in their parents' love and promise to provide for them. We know our Father in heaven knows all of our needs before we even mention them. He cares for us. Satisfied with what we have, we put away envy. We desire not to be rich in the things of this world, since this prayer for material things is satisfied and answered with just bread, necessities. That grace, that living, that godliness, a fruit of God's work in us. Godliness with contentment. Do you have that? May God work that in each one of us more and more through our pilgrimage in this world. Give us, O Lord, Father, our daily bread. Let's pray. Father in heaven, We begin our prayer acknowledging thy goodness, thy sovereignty. Nothing's impossible for thee. Thou art not only able but willing to give us what we stand in need of, and thou knowest what is best for us. O Lord, then, give us that trust each day. Give us, O Lord, that contentment. Give us that confidence. My Father in heaven loves me, cares for me, will feed me, will care for me all the days of my life. And as we grow older, we say with the psalmist, I have been young and now am old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.